Welcome to the Know God Podcast, our weekly discussion with Dr. Jeff Colburn, where we learn about Jesus and how we can develop a relationship with God. Jeff earned his PhD in Bible exposition and is the founder of the Safe Harbor Digital Community, an online space where all are welcome to explore God. I am your co-host, Angela, and I cannot wait to get to today's discussion. Hello.
Hi, Angela.
Welcome back, Dr. Colburn.
Great to be back.
It's so good to have you. This is episode 8.
Wow. We've been doing this for 8 weeks.
8 weeks.
Wow. That's awesome.
So this week, I thought we would do something just a little bit different, and I've titled this week, Quick Question.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Okay. So we're going to have some fun here. This week, I thought we would try something just a little bit different. We've had a few questions come in that may only require just a short answer. And so I thought we would call this episode the Quick Question episode, number 8. So the first question is, if we already know that God's plan wins out in the end, do we really have free will?
No, that's a great question. Yeah, so we know God has a plan and we know how his plan ends, but do we have free will? Oh, well, absolutely, because really comes down to, do you want to participate in his plan, right? That's that free will. You know, he's going to do what he's going to do with his creation, and we're given a choice. Either we can live in his will and enjoy eternity with him, or we can go against his will and live apart with him. But, you know, that's the choice we're given. And that's that freedom of choice we're given. Let me just kind of give you an example. Say my buddy Bob is going sailing and he invites me to go along with him. Now I have the choice. I either can be on that boat or I can be on the dock watching Bob sail away. I can't stop Bob from sailing, but I can make that choice not to go with Bob, not to participate with Bob, right? And I think the problem with this is people confuse free will with democracy. It's almost like we all should have a vote on what happens with the world. Like, God, yes, we're all on this planet. We all should vote on what the end game is. Well, no, that doesn't not how it works. It's God's creation, and he has a plan for this world. He had a plan for this world when he created this world, and he has a plan for eternity for this world. And we don't have a say in that. But we do have a say whether or not we want to participate in that. And that's that free will. Do I want to go with God's plan and enjoy eternity with God? Or do I want to continue to rebel against God and live apart from him? So that's free will.
Okay, so the second question, is Jesus the only way to salvation? This is a tough, tough question for a lot of Christians. I have often had many questions around this when I've had moments in my life where I, you know, when there's people around me that aren't Christian, how do you witness? And how is this fair? And is Jesus the only way to salvation?
Well, so let's answer the question, right? So is Jesus the only way to salvation? Yes. And let me elaborate on that. So as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, I believe everything Jesus tells me. And Jesus tells us that he's the only way for salvation. He's the only way through him to the Father, right? So he doesn't mention any other possible way. He says, if you're going to know, you have to know the Son to know the Father. And there's a reason why we believe he's the only way to salvation. And it goes back to what we discussed in previous episodes, where we talk about sin, that we're all sinful. And a penalty for sin is death. And we also know that we are unable to pay that debt ourselves. We all fall short, right? Paul tells us we all fall short. We're all sinners. We can't pay the sin debt. So what'd God do? He sends the Son to die in our place, right? God so loves us that he sends the Son to pay the penalty for us. He pays the penalty that we can't pay ourselves. So that's the foundation of Christianity, right? The cross, right? That, you know, the death and resurrection of Jesus, right? Where the sin debt is paid and we're restored to God. And as a Christian, that's what we have to believe. Because that's, if we don't believe that, then we're not Christian, right? Because Christian, which, you know, I think is maybe used three times in the New Testament, really just means a follower of Jesus, right? And disciples of Jesus. And that's, I think that term's used over 100 times in the New Testament because Jesus never used the term Christian. He invites people to follow him. And that's what we're doing when we become Christians. We make that decision to follow Jesus. And when we follow him, as any true disciple, we believe and we follow his teachings. And he teaches us that, hey, I'm the way. Now, you know, that might sound harsh. That might sound unfair. But it's what I believe. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's my salvation. So there's no room for any other path. And that goes with any other religion. Like, if I look at Islam, Muslims don't believe Jesus is a possible way. They only believe in one way, too. And the same as Judaism, right? They all have this path to God, and they don't look at other religions as other possibilities. So, you know, as a Christian, this is what I believe. And I respect what you believe. And I hope you respect what I believe, but it doesn't mean I have to accept what you believe, nor do you have to accept what I believe. But as a Christian, for anyone who's going to call themselves a Christian, then yes, Jesus is the only way for salvation.
Okay, sometimes that's really difficult to swallow. Understand that. And that just leads us to this question. The third question, which is, how was there a Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, before Jesus was born? How was that possible?
Yeah, and the Trinity can be very confusing for new believers. It can remain confusing to even mature believers because, you know, you're grasping this concept where you talk about God. But then you talk about three persons in God. You talk about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So there's three persons of God. So it can be confusing. And then especially then you start talking about Jesus and the birth of Jesus. So people start asking, well, was there no Trinity before Jesus was born? Well, yeah, there was a Trinity, right? There was a Father, Son, and a Holy Spirit from the very beginning, right? John tells us, right, you know, in the beginning, the Word is God, and the Word was with God, and then the Word became flesh, right? He's talking about the incarnation, right, in the person of Jesus. So the Son, you know, is Jesus. And Jesus tells us this, right? He always refers to himself as the Son. And then, you know, to even kind of, you know, confirm that his understanding of the sonship was, if you look at his response to the Pharisees, you know, when they're, you know, he said that, you know, Abraham, you know, awaited this day, and they're like, well, you're only 30 years old. How can you possibly have known Abraham? He said, well, before Abraham, I am, right? So he uses I am, right? And if we remember Moses, right, God approaches Moses in the burning bush and says, hey, Moses, I want you to go down to Egypt, and you're going to free my people. And Moses is like, well, who do I tell him sent me? And God says, I am. So when Jesus said, I am, he knew what he was saying. And his audience certainly knew what he was saying because they tried to stone him for blasphemy. So Jesus identified with the Son as being one of the three of that Holy Trinity.
This question goes along with the previous question. If we are created in God's image, why does the book of Genesis say that we, in quotes, we will create man in our image? Shouldn't it say his image?
Yeah, so again, this goes back to the Holy Trinity, right? We're talking about that three person of God, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so when they create man, they say, well, we're going to create him in our image, right? Because there's three of them. So it's like we going to create man in our image. So that's just one of our earlier evidences of the Holy Trinity. Now, some people who don't believe in a triune God, you know, the Holy Trinity, they'll say, well, God was talking to angels. That's why you said our image, because he's talking about him and his legion of angels. Well, there's no biblical evidence like for this. There's nothing in the Bible that says the angels were created in God's image, right? We see it said that man was created in God's image, but we don't read that angels were created in God's image. So this explanation seems more like a convenience without any evidence. It's like, here's my convenient response to why it says R. He's talking to his angels. Well, no, it's the Holy Trinity. That's why it says created in our image.
So here's an interesting one that we often sort of brush over. We don't really think about it because there's so many things in the Bible that can be a little bit confusing. So we'll just sort of brush past things. This is one. Who was Cain's wife?
That's actually that's funny. That's not the first time I've heard that question. But I remember it was a few years ago. A buddy of mine and I were teaching a group of pastors in Malawi, and we had just taught them a whole lesson on Genesis. And we said, okay, why don't you guys take a few minutes, come up with some questions, and come back, and we'll discuss it. And, you know, there's a lot in Genesis. So, you know, I wonder what they're going to ask us. And this was the question. This is the first question they ask us, is who was Cain's wife? And it's a really good question, because if you read in Genesis 4, you know, Cain murders his brother Abel, God banishes him, and then Cain takes his wife with him. Well, we read Genesis, right, leading up to that point, there's not a whole lot of people, right, that we have Adam and Eve, and we read about Cain and Abel. So where'd the wife come from? And so there's nothing in the biblical account that tells us who Cain's wife is. So we have to turn to Jewish tradition. You know, what did the Jews believe about Cain's wife? So if we go to the Book of Jubilees, this is literature written by by the Israelites or the Jews around 160 to 141 BC, and it gives an account of Adam and Eve and that they had two sons and three daughters prior to Seth, because we remember Seth is born after Abel's murdered, but so prior to the murder of Abel, they had, you know, Cain, Abel, and three daughters. And the daughter that Cain marries, her name is Awan. And, there's nothing in the Bible about her. It just says Cain had a wife, and they had a kid named Enoch, and they founded the city of Enoch, right? But there's nothing beyond that in the Bible. So we have to kind of look to what those oral traditions of the Jewish people that were ultimately written down, your Book of Jubilees, the Talmud, which was, the oral accounts that were ultimately documented after the destruction of the Second Temple.
So the three sisters were not in the Bible?
No. They don't say that they're the daughters of Adam and Eve. It just, all it says in Genesis 4 is Cain took a wife, right? and she conceived, and Enoch was born. This doesn't say that the wife came from Adam and Eve. That is not in Genesis.
Is it okay to ask why they would leave that out? Why that wouldn't be an important part of the Bible? Or,
well, so now you're going into an area of how we think, right? So ancient Near East thinking wasn't as analytical, I would say, kind of speaking off the cuff here, as Greco-Roman thinking, where always looking for the why or the reason. Here in the Genesis account, they're just giving an account of, hey, this is Cain. He took a wife. And a lot of times, they just note the males, right? They just give the lineage of the males, and they don't really give a lineage of the women. Because I guess in their account, they just like, well, we just want to share the lineage that came from Cain. And, because if you continue to read through Genesis up to Noah, you start reading about, Enoch, Methuselah, and all them, right? Yeah, leading up to Noah. So it just kind of, it seems like the purpose of that part of Genesis is just to give that lineage account through the males anyway.
I see.
Leading up to Noah. But, why specifically?
Right.
Why did they say, Cain married his sister? Why did they put that in there? I can't say definitively why it was excluded. We've got to remember the Bible's not a history book. It's God's revelations to man. Mm. So, and it's God inspired. So, who she was, and to be honest, really does not impact the biblical story.
Interesting. Very interesting. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, that's always a fun question. I actually had to go research that one because the first time I was asked, I was like, yeah, that's a good question. I have no idea. So I had to actually go research, and even in the Bible, I couldn't find anything. So I had to go to, what we call extra biblical literature and, these are Jewish writings outside the Bible, and I found something in the Book of Jubilee that gives an account of who Cain's wife is and the daughters of Adam and Eve.
Wow, that is so interesting. And I think with that, I think we've cleared out a good chunk of our mailbag.
Yeah, there's a lot of good questions. I've these past 8 weeks, it's been really really exciting to see the kind of questions people are asking, what they want to know. I spent all this time researching, but I was like, what do people really want to know? So this has been really good. And it's some of them really get me thinking. Like, I was like, because people ask you a question and it's never been framed in that way before. So you kind of have to like sit there and it's like, oh, wow, yeah, that's a good question. Let me give that some thought. So all I got to say is, keep them coming. Like, as you can see, we're going everywhere from Holy Trinity today to, who's Cain's wife. So, nothing's off the table. So if you have a question, please get it into us. We love to talk about it. So, just thank you, everybody, for tuning in and sharing your questions with us.
Yes, thank you so much. Definitely keep the questions coming. It's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy the conversations. I especially enjoyed this one today. I like the quick question episode. I think it could even be a little even quicker. I think we should try to do something sort of rapid fire maybe at some point. It would be a lot of fun. And if you all have any suggestions, please send them in, something that maybe you would like to hear that would just add a little bit more to this episode for you. Plus, I seem to learn something new every week. It's incredible. And I hope you all are finding it just as helpful.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for being part of the Know God podcast. Please join us every Monday as we learn more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. If you found this episode helpful, please leave us a review. We would love to hear from you. Also, please join the Safe Harbor community at digitalsafeharbor.com, a safe online space where you can ask questions, share your experiences and struggles, and engage in honest conversation. Until next week, have a great day and God bless.